Tonight, I'm very pleased to have Pastor Jesse Bradley here from the local Christian church up the street here, just a few blocks. So, and he will be talking about a subject which is dear to my heart, the way grace works, and I'm very happy to have you join us and talking about rooted in grace. Thank you for coming to many rivers. Appreciate it.
It is an honor to be here, and I've been looking forward to this and for a couple months. So just to make it a little more personal, this won't take too long, but let's just have everyone say their name. There might be someone here that you've seen or you can't quite remember their name. So you, sitting on the floor, you should have the first honor, definitely, you too. But go ahead.
I'm Jessica Hossel. Tamsin.
Brad. Michael. Hi.
I'm Ann.
Betty Goodnick.
Mary.
Carl.
Joseph.
Shirley.
Bill.
Jerry. And this is Judy.
Eve.
Richard.
Donald.
Patty.
Henry.
Eva.
Ellen.
Kenny.
Ken Williams.
Daryl.
Sarah.
Sydney Drin.
Sue.
Kathy.
Edwards.
Oh, we missed some of the back, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Kitty.
Peggy.
Harold, Charlie,
Jim. All right, I think we got everyone. And also, I wanted to just hand this out. This is kind of an overview. There's some fill in the blanks if you want to write stuff down. And I just like this because sometimes we'll be talking about things, and then later on it's like, oh yeah, what were we talking about again? So that's already happened to me, and I'm only 40. So, there's no quiz on this. There's no pressure on filling the blanks. If you miss one and later on you want to ask. But that gives you an overview of what we're doing here and going through tonight. It's an honor to be here, part of the Thursday night program as well. And here's a topic close to my heart. So how many people here are gardeners? Just curious. Just about everybody? All right, does everyone have everything planted for the summer? Not yet, not yet. That's all right, no pressure. Okay, all right. We've got three huge pots just as I left my house, trying to decide what to put in those three. But the first one we've decided roses, so we've got some pink roses in there. I've liked the metaphor before, from the root comes the fruit. You know, with the strong roots, there's going to be great fruit. And so those two are together. And also we're checking the soil before we start planting. And so we're paying attention to the soil. And that's kind of the metaphor here with rooted in grace. As we think about our lives going deeply into soil, or as we think about the deep roots in our lives, what's happening there with those roots? So we're going to begin by looking at, and there's pens, by the way. If anyone needs an extra pen, we've got pens as well. We could pass those around. Anyone need a pen that wants a pen? Okay, one in the front, another one in the front here. I think I might have a pen. Okay, we've got some more here. Okay, we need one.
Thank you.
Two extra pens?
Back there? Okay. One right here. So, the first section is talking about toxic soils, and maybe briefly, if you want to, share an example, but the first toxic soil that I've written down, you could probably relate to all four of these, is to be rooted in fear. Rooted in fear. And maybe it comes when you can't sleep at night because you're just so afraid and worried. It could be with financial situations, could be health, waiting a doctor's report. It's big eyes. Maybe it's rooted in fear where there's something you really want to do that's good, but you just haven't been able to because it's too scary. Maybe it's saying I love you to somebody. Maybe it's a career decision. Maybe it's helping someone. But because you're rooted in fear, sometimes it can be 20, 30, 40 years later, you still didn't quite do it because there's so much fear, and fear can block us. So that's one toxic soil, is rooted in fear. A second one is rooted in selfishness. And this is if I had an unhealthy focus of me, or on me, a very unhealthy, a little bit obsessed with myself, or only looking out for myself. This, to be honest, is a daily battle. I mean, I think I wake up every day, part of me wants to be just rooted in selfishness. I remember a high school basketball game when the rest of the team, after the game, was just so happy, and I was crying. It was like, okay, what just happened? Well, we won the game, but I only scored 4 points. And, you know, it was just so far below my average. And I was just crying in the shower. I thought, something's wrong here. Everyone else is having a good time. That's a hint, right? Sometimes we know we're rooted in selfishness, a little too self-centered. The third one is rooted in bitterness. And maybe you've had some experience with that. It's not forgiving someone. It's holding grudges, trying to get revenge. One person that was the hardest for me to forgive was my dad. And my parents got divorced when I was 7 years old. And my dad moved far away from Minnesota to Colorado. And I just didn't come around. Didn't write, didn't call. And just this big void in my life. Well, I, for many years following that, held on to bitterness. And by the time I was a senior in high school, I was angry at my dad. I thought, how dare you just leave and show no interest in me and just leave my mom alone and so forth. So I held on to bitterness for a long time. And it honestly wasn't until, I'm a pastor in town. This part of this night will be from a Christian perspective. And I became a Christian in college. And when I understood that God forgave me of everything I'd ever done wrong, that was the first time in my life I was able to let go of that bitterness and completely forgive my dad from my heart and just tell him, Dad, I want to have as good a relationship as we can have. I know we've had a tough past. And, my marriage was the first big event in my life when my dad was there supporting me. And it was just before I walked down the aisle and a friend said, anything else before the wedding, before it was about to start. And I just said, I just want another big hug from Dad. And Dad was right there, and I just got one more from Dad. So, and so much healing in that relationship. We call, we email, but that was the turning point. And it wasn't until I let go of the bitterness that things started to improve. So that's a third one. And then a fourth one is rooted in despair. And that's when you feel like you're looking and looking and looking, and there's just no light at the end of the tunnel. It's like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, and it's never going to change. It's never going to get better. Anybody, just brief comments. This is somewhat interactional tonight, too. I think at the end we'll really probably open it up for some question and answer or just discussion. But anyone want to make any comments on those four or anything from your life that comes to mind of being rooted in one of those that was tough to get out of? Yeah.
I think one would be, in my own case, a tremendous pride. I actually look down on certain people, mm-hmm. and I just wouldn't have anything to do with them because, they're just not the caliber of people I ever cared. And of course, I learned a great lesson because I became the platoon sergeant for that same bunch. In the long run, they proved me very wrong.
Good. You served up some humble pie in a good way.
That's
good. Anybody else want to share an example? Yeah.
My dad has had various injuries to his body, and he is 84 now, and he's gotten to the point where whenever we go anywhere, it says we're never going to get there. We're never going to get there. It's not there anymore. It's gone.
It's despair.
We can't get it. It's gone. and we keep telling him, it's just right around the corner. We're going to get there in 5 minutes. No, it's gone. Mm. We're never going to get there.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of these are sad like that too. Yeah. Maybe one more. Yeah.
I would say they're rooted in bitterness because my dad passed out of this world at a very early age, age of 53, and I never felt like I gained his respect as a man. And that's one of the things that sons long for is that their fathers view them as men, mm-hmm. and not little boys, little kids. And I felt that he was taken away too soon. But God's consolation is that he visits me in my dreams. Several occasions he's come to me in my dreams. And we don't say anything, but I have this peace and assurance that he's okay. Because the week before he died Easter Sunday, 1983. And the week before he passed out of this world, I went down to see him. And he was too weak to really talk. So before I came back up here, I went to his bedside and said, "Dad, can I pray for you?" And he nodded, "Okay." And so I prayed for him. And after I said amen, I got real close to his face. And I said, "You know, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. All you have to do is let him in." And a week later, he went home. And I think these dreams are God's comfort to me, knowing that I'll see my dad again. Mm-hmm. And he's okay.
Thanks for sharing. So, and just as we're being honest and thinking about these in our own lives tonight, these are common. These are very common. You're not unusual if you can relate to these four toxic soils and know what these are like. I was thinking about probably the most famous song having to do with grace, which is Amazing Grace. And I know we've got a few singers here, but maybe at the end, I mean, off night. No. But, you know, with John Newton, I was thinking, well, he was involved in slave trade. And I thought, how fitting that the one who was involved in something, you know, that's so terrible is the author of this song, Amazing Grace, and the great change in his life. And so there's been a lot of music and a lot of uplifting, encouraging stuff that someone started out in toxic soil, and yet there's been this huge turnaround. And it's easier to say than maybe just to get out of these things. So let's look at for a second this changing process, this transformation. The transplant, I was thinking about transplanting a tree or a plant and what that looks like. This is kind of a summary of the transplant from maybe soil that's toxic to good soil. Hitting the point where you want something better than toxic soil and deciding to go for new soil. So hitting the point where you want something better than toxic soil, so there's that desire, life's just got to be a little better than this, so there's got to be something better than toxic soil, and then deciding, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to take some risks, I'm going to take some steps, some action, some open up in some new ways. You know, for me, one of the hardest situations I've seen in my life was with an uncle of mine, and he was a comedian, and he grew up in Minnesota. There aren't as many opportunities in Minnesota as there are in Hollywood, so he moved out to Hollywood and lived in Hollywood for a long time. But I saw an addiction with him of drinking and drugs, and for many, many, many years. And he was always trying to find the perfect drug, because he thought if he found the perfect combination of drugs, he could finally be happy. You know, so it might be a prescription, and some alcohol, and some marijuana, and he just combined lots of different drugs and continued that behavior. And, you know, and sometimes there would be glimpses of maybe he wants something a little better than that. But ultimately, he never wanted to change his life. And the family would beg and plead and pray. But he ended up taking his life, you know. And it was, and that's, I think, one of the hardest things to in life is when you see somebody in that toxic soil that doesn't want to change, and you reach out to them. This theme, rooted in grace, it really comes from a prayer, and it's a prayer in the Bible. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul says, "I pray that you may be rooted in love, rooted in grace." That was the prayer that he prayed for this whole city of Ephesus, and how powerful would that be? I mean, can you imagine a Sebastopol where every day we were just rooted in grace? I mean, what would some of the tensions look like between people that have a lot of money and don't have a lot of money? Some of the people that are more educated or less educated, between different races. I mean, how would Sebastopol be changed if we just started to see people with a picture of grace? So it's a very powerful thing to be rooted in love and rooted in grace, And so that was the prayer from the Apostle Paul, to really know God's love and God's grace in a deep way. So the journey, that was the other heading there. The journey is discovering that grace is an undeserved gift. An undeserved gift. If I was going to define grace, I would say it's an undeserved gift, and it's really a discovery in our lives. Each of us have a different story, and we're on that journey. And I just wanted to stop there for a minute and just share a little bit about my journey with grace. My parents grew up going to a church, but seeing a lot of hypocrisy and a lot of bad experiences. They didn't want a thing to do with God, with grace, with church, with anything like that. And so they kind of shielded me from that. I mentioned my parents got divorced when I was 7. My response to that was get good grades and play a lot of sports. So that was, I thought, okay, if my dad's not in the picture, if things are tough, I'm going to get the best grades I can get, and I'm just going to play sports all the time, because it was just such a fun outlet and escape from some of those painful things. So getting good grades, playing sports, I graduated, went to Dartmouth College in New Hampshire, got to play soccer there. My freshman year, we had won the Ivy League. I was getting good grades, lots of friends. Just everything looked like a success from the outside, but I was not rooted in grace. And you know, the first time I really started to learn about grace or hear about grace was a class I took, and it was an introduction to world religions. So I had no experience with any religions or faith. I mean, the only one I had, my stepdad's Jewish, and so I went to the temple, and I went to a summer camp, and it's funny, I complained, but then I loved and sang the songs all the time. You know, typical kid, I guess. But that was the only real exposure I had. So now I step in this Introduction to World Religions class, and we're going to read the different texts from the different faiths. And I had never read any of them in my life. And I started to pick up on the professor and kind of where he was coming from and which things he liked and didn't like. And that was becoming more obvious. He was pretty hard on the Bible. He wasn't afraid to really try to attack the Bible. But it was the first time I ever read the Bible. So Gospel of John is assigned to us. And I'm reading in John chapter 1, you know, one of the things that says Jesus is full of grace. And I had never, you know, read the Bible before, and now I'm reading Jesus is full of grace. As I began to study the different religions and Christianity, one thing that stood out to me is the emphasis on grace in Christianity. Because in so many of the religions of the world, there's it's this striving, trying to keep the law, keep the commands, be a good enough person. And it's a lot of striving towards God. And then, with this professor explaining it, you know, Christianity was different because, well, the picture is God loves us, God provides for us, and from heaven, God sends His Son, and we can have forgiveness, we can have eternal life, we can have acceptance by God, we can have all these things, and none of them can be earned. It is 100% grace. So it just stood out. It's so different from the other things I'm studying, and it really caught my attention. So I said no thank you to Jesus, you know, no way. And about a year later, I thought, you know, that's about the best thing I've ever heard of. It's too good to say no to. And so this emptiness that was in there, again, I'm sharing my journey, but and the Bible says no one can. It's by grace alone. No one can earn their way to God, or else we would boast. We would say, look how great I am. Look at all the great things I've done. None of that. It's all His grace. So that was part of my journey. But this would be a nice place to stop and just give everyone 5 minutes, because that's one of my favorite things to do, you know, around Sabbath, is hearing journeys, hearing people. Where are you at? What are you wrestling with? What's your experience? Is it good or bad? You know, what do you think? And then in sharing your story, and don't ever belittle your story. There's not a person here that's not interesting. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you don't want to know my story. Oh, it's nothing. It's nothing special. No, it's fascinating. You know, so the journey, that's the journey, and realizing what a huge undeserved gift grace is. Okay, let me do this. Let's do this next section. Then maybe we'll just open it up for just any questions there. Why not? Why not receive grace? Why not enjoy grace? Maybe you can relate to some of these. I think one reason it doesn't happen is that some people are so hard on themselves. So hard on themselves. And if you've, maybe if you've had people pick on you, or you've had maybe even family members that are hard on you, and you've grown up in an environment where you've never felt you could measure up, and it, you know, you're not perfect, and maybe you're one of those people that just keeps hitting rewind, rewind, past failures, past mistakes, rewind, rewind, and you just, you're living in a lot of those. It makes it hard to receive grace when you do that. And so I was just thinking about one guy I met that, and it's not bad to have long hair down to here, but he had long hair down to here, and he always wore a hat, and the hat was always covering down here. And even if you tried to get under there and look at him a little bit in the eyes, you know, there's no eye contact. And as I got to know him better, I mean, here's just a guy completely hard on himself. And you know, he started to, he's like, grace, what's that? You can just see, like, I've never heard this before. And the more he learned, pretty soon, as he's learning more about grace, and he's asking questions, getting it, it's about 6 months later, I mean, hair's up here, hats off, he talks to you, just looking you right in the eyes, and you could just tell something had happened deep in his heart with grace, and really changed this guy. But some people are just hard on themselves, and they don't even like themselves. It's a sad thing. I got young people today, I'm talking about cutting. You know what I mean? It's like, I didn't have much of that growing up. Cutting, just cutting themselves to see blood, to hope to feel better with all the pain. I mean, just sad stuff that's common these days. Just hard on themselves. Number two, some people have just never been told about grace. That was my story for 18 years. No one ever said a word about grace. That's a question I like to ask people now. Hey, have you ever heard about grace? What do you think about grace? Just conversation thing. I like to throw out that question.
May I ask?
Yeah.
What is your definition of grace?
Yeah, receiving that undeserved gift, and kind of touched on the journey. It's an undeserved gift that we can never earn. And I, from my perspective, you know, I see all good things are from God. There's probably, you could break down grace into different categories, and I was gonna touch on that in a minute too, but there's things like common grace. Well, it rains, everybody, sunshine is out today. It's a common grace we get to experience. Everybody gets to experience the sunshine today if they want to come out of their house. You know, that's a common grace. I think there's daily grace, which each day to make it through, we need enough grace. You know, to make it through. That would be another kind of grace. There is a grace that covers all our rebellion and forgiveness. And what an incredible gift and grace that is. So theologians would probably, you know, establish several different categories of grace. But when you boil it all down in all those different categories, it's undeserved gift. It's love and an undeserved gift. A Christian acronym might be God's riches at Christ's expense, if you like acronyms. You know, is a helpful acronym too. A third reason is some people are used to systems of performance, and everything has been performance based. So grades are performance based, sports performance based. Sadly, a lot of relationships, earning friendships, sometimes even with family, it's performance. It's all performance-based. Religion, unfortunately, there's churches that the last thing they ever talk about is grace, and everything is guilt and shame, and so religion can be misleading sometimes. It can present God as someone that doesn't extend any grace. He doesn't have any grace. It's you better try harder and harder and harder and harder and harder, and still then, you know, he's probably not going to love you that much. Harsh, legalistic environments. A lot of people know that. And And so performance, even with money, paychecks, we just live in a world where there's so much performance-based things that we think that's how everything works. And it's hard to really open up to grace. And then a fourth thing is some people are just stubborn about not receiving. it's a lot easier to give than receive sometimes. And the idea of receiving some big stuff is, I talk to people in their 60s, in their 70s, that their health is a bigger challenge than it's ever been, and they just honestly say, it's just tough for me to let anybody help me, even a little bit, because I just don't like that. I don't like to be helped. I don't like to receive. And so sometimes the idea of receiving anything from God or from other people, it's just tough for some people. So, and maybe you can identify in the area of grace what might hold you back. But this is probably a good spot for a pause, and just anything from these first three sections that maybe you just want to share a thought or a question or something isn't clear.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You mentioned grace as being undeserved. Yeah. Could you elaborate on the undeserved aspect of it?
I mean, one of the illustrations I like is someone did this to me once, invited me out to a sushi dinner. My wife and I went with him and his wife, and sushi's not in my list of top 10 favorite foods, but it was still a great dinner. And then at the end of the dinner, he picked us up, you know, and we went back to his house, and he pulled out his car keys, and he said, "Here you go, drive home." And I said, "No, it's your car. I can't take your car." And he said, "No, this is your car." And I said, "No way." And so he's giving me his car. And he said, "You know, a long time ago, when we were first married, someone gave us a car. We just said, we've always wanted to do that, to be able to give someone a car." Mm. He said, "We've thought about that, and you're the couple, and we want to give it to you guys." And he said, "Take your new car." And so that's an example where he received something that he didn't work for, do. Someone gave him out of love. It was a grace gift. And he's motivated to then do that same thing to somebody else and a gift of grace. So I think there are very few things in the world that that are given to us that are large gifts. And it's humbling to just say, you know, I didn't do it. I didn't lift a finger to get this thing. And so if I said, you know, "Here's my car," all you'd have to say is yes or no, you know. And if you say yes, the grace is received. And you're driving home with my car. And I'll still think about if I want to do that tonight. Like a 95 Buick Regal. Just passed the smog test of 3. So, you know, got that going for it. Yeah.
Pastor Jesse, I'm wondering if the word undeserved, maybe it feels like it's what you're saying, if it's not part of a performance system, that it's not earned, you don't have to do anything to get it.
That's right.
Undeserved almost, like the word almost has a connotation of judgment.
Oh, I see. Like unworthy? You mean that? Yeah, it's not that direction at all. Yeah. Good clarification. Yeah, it's not that. It's not to make, undeserved isn't, "Oh, I'm so terrible, I'm so terrible, I'm so terrible." That's not the picture of undeserved. It's just merely to say that you didn't do anything to earn it. Yeah. Some people have said, "Well, would the word free be better?" Because grace is one of those things, what's the exact right word? And that's a great clarification. Some people have said, "Well, it's free gift." And that's not one that you could really say, yes, that's grace, because usually when it's grace, it's free for the recipient, but not for the giver. So if you say it's free, that's a little misleading, because no, for the giver, it was not free. It's often a sacrifice, something like that. So, yeah, choosing the right words and what those words mean is important when we're talking about this. Yeah.
I like the word undeserved a lot. What comes to me is natural inheritance. Like there's this natural inheritance that's just there, and like if we don't know it's there, we don't know how to claim it, but it's there for us to claim. And the whole idea that there's nothing that we have to do to earn it, that it's just ours naturally, is magnificent. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. When you start to feel like this is too good, this is too magnificent, you're getting it. That's great.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
One thing about the undeserved gift that you pull out the keys and you're trying to give it away, there's one thing required of the person.
That's right.
And that's to take the keys.
That's right.
He can say yes, okay. And until he takes the keys, it's not his.
Right.
But he has to reach out and actually take and grab a hold of those keys to make it his.
Yeah, that's right. And there's some expressions of grace, like our hearts are all beating right now. I would say that's grace. When we're born in the world, that's grace. We didn't choose it, pick it, but it's given to us, and what a great gift. But then there's other things where it's offered, and then we have to receive it. That's exactly right.
I think maybe a better example of grace can be given if you put something that is really meaningful to you, like a death sentence. Let's say you've performed a crime, you were tried, found guilty, proven guilty, and you were guilty, and you're sentenced to death, and you're almost ready to go to whatever, the gallows, and the governor commutes your sentence and says, you're free now, I've freed you. Governor or somebody, whoever had the power to do that, and now you realize that I was under sentence of death, and here's somebody has commuted my, and I deserved that sentence of death, and it was commuted by somebody. That is in my example of grace.
Good. Yeah. And it's good to think through your own life, or maybe even, in our culture too, but where you're seeing a lot of grace, and where you've seen a lot of grace in your own life too. Let's do this next section here with some nutrients, grace nutrients, and this first one is realize that every good thing in your life is a gift. Realize that every good thing in your life is a gift. This perspective hit me when I was at a time in my life where I probably lost many of the things that were dear to me. And this was after college. I was able to play soccer in Zimbabwe, and I played a season there, and I took a drug to prevent malaria. It was prescribed to take weekly. And after I'd been in Africa a long time, taking the drug every week, it's a very potent drug. It's some doctors refuse to even give it. But it built up toxic levels in my system. So I started to have all kinds of side effects. Massive headaches. Any kind of light or noise was too much. Sweats and chills. I started to have blurry vision and double vision. My heart would just start racing. 160 beats a minute. Just sitting still like this. Fatigue. Going from, pro soccer to couldn't do anything. So just all throughout my body, not to mention dreams and all kinds of stuff. So it was like a massive drug overdose, and the drug has a half-life of a month. So most drugs leave, half of it leaves every couple hours. But this is a month before half of it leaves, and it was just another month before half of that would leave. But there was so much in there, it was just, so it was like a year. So all these things, when I was 3 years old, I wanted to play pro sports. That was my dream. All these things, the trip to Africa, and in Africa, what a great, I was in Zimbabwe, tutoring students. My name was Makiwa. There weren't a lot of Americans or white people there, so Makiwa means white man. And but affectionately. And so we just walked through town, Makiwa, Makiwa, and the kids would all follow us to the soccer, and the kids would come up, and they'd just want to touch my hair. I had hair back then. And just touch the hair, and, you know, the white skin, and just, like, poking around and laughing and having fun, and I was Makiwa. But so all these great things, and all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm flying home on a plane because the doctors are trying to figure out what to do, and now I'm moving back home, and I never thought I would, and all my friends from college aren't around, and I'm here in Santa Rosa, where I didn't grow up, and I don't have any friends. I don't have a church. I've got no more professional soccer. I've got no idea what career might be out there or what am I going to do with the rest of my life. I have no help from the doctors in terms of when is it going to end? When am I going to ever get better? How gradual will it be? And it just felt like, boy, just all the legs of the table were just pulled out and thud on the ground. And all these things I just kind of took for granted or had all my life. Including health and things and options. It's like nothing there. And here I am making this chart of, okay, 6 months later, I'm able to go for a walk 10 minutes. You know, I'm running 10 minutes today. And so I'm just trying to build up to that thing. And you know, that was the point in my life where I realized if I have any health, if I'm in my right mind, if I ever have any money, if I ever have a career, if I'm ever able to help anybody, if I'm ever able to do anything good, it's going to be a complete gift, and it's going to be the grace of God, because right now I just don't have any of it, and if the grace is there by God to ever do any of that again, that will be 100% His grace, because in my own power, I cannot just make any of those things happen, and so just start, you know, each little thing, just so grateful for. I'd write a list of 10 things every day I'm just thankful for. You know, hot shower. Thankful. Hot shower made my list of top 10. You know, it did. But it started to develop a thankful attitude and not taking things for granted, not entitlement. It was incredibly humbling. But daily grace, there was one passage in the Bible where Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, you know, he wanted God to take away this challenge. It was a thorn in the flesh. And he's just, God, take it away. God says no. He says, God, take it away. God says no. He says, God, take it away. God says no 3 times. And it's like, well, what's left? And God gives Paul this promise. And he says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And in your weakness, my power is going to be seen. And what does that mean? That means when I wake up in the morning, I've got this promise. My grace is sufficient for you. The day might not go how I want. I might not get everything I want. But for that day, God has said, I'll give you enough grace for that day for what you need. And that's what I've just held on to. Whenever there's a difficult situation, whenever something seems overwhelming or too big, I just say, no. God says His grace is sufficient. He's going to give sufficient grace for the day. And that's daily grace. And every bit of that grace is a good thing, and it's a gift, and I'm thankful for it. So that's a grace appreciation or just a change, a mindset, and it just it's you switch sometimes. We're just naturally grumblers, and it switches us over to grateful when we just realize that every good thing is a gift and grace. So I thank God for all those. Number two, let go of trying to be the center of the universe. You never will be. It's a default mode for us sometimes. We just think everything revolves around us. You know, one of the things that was touched on tonight, some of the comments, but one of the things that really blocks grace is pride. It's pride. I mean, pride always says, me first, I'm at the center of the universe, and I'm the best, I'm better than other people. Someone mentioned that, I'm better than other people. That really blocks grace. When you start seeing other people as second rate, or you're better than them in some way like that, and they're inferior to you, that blocks grace. So, number three, true grace is based on truth. True grace is based on truth. So grace isn't just a myth or a concept that's out there. It's not la-la land. If it's really going to be grace, it's based on truth. Like when that guy offered me the car, it was a true offer. There was truth behind it. You know, when I'm sharing stories about my life, I want them to be truthful. if you take away truth out of the picture, see, grace and truth go together. Even when Jesus said he's full of grace, he also said he's full of truth. But grace, it can't be an illusion, or it's not true grace. It can't be just a figment of our imaginations, or else it's not true grace. True grace is based on truth, or has truth to it. And truth is a whole nother discussion, but I just wanted to highlight that it's not just a philosophy, it's not just out there, it's not just a concept. It is real, and it has to be grounded in truth as well, and consistent with truth. Number four on that one is find an eternal and secure love. We in this group, we could probably think of 20 places people run to trying to find love, and how and where are we going to find it, and how much we want it. So this eternal and secure love, when I was sharing my journey in Jesus, one of the things he says is, you know, that you will never be snatched from my hand, and I give you eternal life. And, you know, you're not going to perish. You're going to have eternal life. You'll never be snatched from my hand. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for someone. I was thinking about this, eternal secure love. One of the people that's in a movie that's out right now and Soul Surfer is Bethany Hamilton. And I was just thinking, okay, here's someone that loves surfing. She's out on a surfboard. A shark comes up and just eats off her arm. And she's bleeding to death. And her friends are rushing her in to the shore. And the person who's taking care of her, you know, she was a Christian when this happened. And the person who's taking care of her, the paramedic, also happened to be a Christian. And he just, you know, he said, God's never going to leave you. He's with you now, even in this situation. But, you know, so here's someone with a promising surfing career, lost an arm, bleeding to death. And yet, what's happened in her life? She's been able to make it back to surfing competitions, winning competitions. And yet, there's a point in her life where, okay, even though there was a tremendous loss and a tragedy, because she knew that she's loved, because she's secure in that grace, she is able to start the rehabilitation procedure. And you know what? If she never surfed again, she was still in a good place. Because even though that shark took her arm, couldn't it take away that secure love and that grace? And there's a lot of times we're going to go through life where something big is taken from us, or we're just going that way and it isn't going that way anymore. And if we have our identity based on achievements, our resume, possessions, money, if all these other things can be taken away and we can lose them, but when you really find an eternal secure love, and in eternal grace, and that's something that can never be taken away. And so for me, you know, when Jesus says, no one can snatch you out of my hand, it's like, it doesn't matter whatever happens to me the next however long I live, no one can ever take that away. It's just, it can't be done. It's one of the most comforting things, is to know that love and that secure love. Number four or five, sorry, become motivated by gratitude. Now, this gets down to some of the motivations of why we do things. And sometimes we do things just purely to earn things. Sometimes we do it to impress other people. Sometimes we do it to please other people. This is really a different motivation. This is a gratitude. I want to serve. You know, I would say that in my life, what I've seen is the people who are eager to serve and who do very servant-like roles, and they're people who know grace. You know, because those other motivations, if I'm doing something just to please somebody else, if I'm doing it to try and earn something, those can fade. But when you've received so much grace and you just want to give back, you want to serve, it's a whole different ballgame. And so there's a strong link between grace and gratitude and then service. I think that's lived out in the motivations behind our service. And then the last one is just spreading grace, to spread grace. And the more you spread, you know, that's going to be a good thing. There's an Arab proverb that says, you know, the worst sin is to find water in the desert and not tell anybody. that's one way of saying it. I was, you know, I was just before this, we were over at someone's house. Her name's Lil. She's in her 90s. It's refreshing to talk to someone that says, "Oh, I remember back in my 90th birthday," and the party, and she is so full of life and joy, and I just think, wow, when I'm in my 90s, Lord willing, you know, I just think that's, and there's just these things we're talking about tonight. It's like this is her life, and it's like, boy, if you got a few free hours, she'd probably have you over. and you could just, boy, listening to her talk, it was just like she could have been giving this talk tonight, you know. And you see someone so vibrant and alive and in their 90s, and you just think, yeah, that's a good picture of what we're talking about. There's a quote that says, there's nothing as beautiful in all creation as a soul in grace. A soul that's really deep in grace and has found true grace, and it's one of the most beautiful things. Let's see. Why don't I stop there before the got some reflection questions too? But how are we doing on time? By the way, I don't know if there's a
8:25.
Great. Okay. So let's stop there for a second, and again open it up to comments and thoughts and questions.
Jesse?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of what would have happened if you hadn't had that turning point in your college years, like later when you were in Zimbabwe and you were really, really dying from this drug that you had been taking?
Yeah.
Have you thought what your life would be like if you didn't have that experience?
Yeah. I never thought I would become a pastor. It was never on my radar, you know. And you know, I was part of there were and it's funny because no one ever, like the Christians I was with that were in ministry, that oftentimes encouraged other people to go into ministry, never came near to me. So, and my parents, just some irony is, you know, my mom going back to her high school reunion after all these years, and they're kind of sharing, oh, so what do your kids do? You know, and then out of her mouth is, oh, my son's a pastor. You know, and her friends are just, you know, like, what in the world happened? So, sometimes something can be happening to us that doesn't feel like there's much grace in that experience, and then you look back on it and you say, wow, even that was something, there's a lot of good that came out of that, you know. I see that was the point where God was redirecting me towards ministry, but in my mind it was like, well, what could possibly be better than professional soccer? You know, it's like, if I've got my all-time favorite, the very best thing I could ever do, there's nothing better than that out there, you know. So I think that's why I say sometimes grace is surprising, because we think we know what's best for us, and then life happens. We look back 10, 20 years, and we're like, no, that was the very best thing that could have happened to us. So I had no idea that it'd be a good fit to go into ministry. And I mean, there's a proverb that says that is very, very thing, you know, is that, you know, for us, we have our own understanding, our own view of things, and we always like have our own checklist and our own goals and our own picture of how things should work out and so forth. And we're humbled sometimes. And sometimes it's in dating, you know, you're 18 and you're in love, and then And then all of a sudden, it's a few years later, you realize, boy, am I glad I didn't end up with that person. You know, because you think that, you know, it's got to go one way. And then later on, you realize, no, and that's the picture in the Bible, is that God lovingly guiding us. And he knows, and in his grace and in his patience and his mercy, it's just he leads us. And so, the experience wasn't good. I mean, I'm not calling bad things good. My heart's beating 160 beats a minute. I'm not calling that good sitting there. But good came out of.
Did you have despair in that year when you were going through your recovery and regaining your strength? Were there times when your faith lagged?
Yeah. You know what was interesting is. The darkest day for me, I mean, I just remember, it just felt like the world couldn't get any darker. It just couldn't be more alone, couldn't be any darker. And I'm not someone that's battled with tons of depression in my life, but one of the side effects of the drug is to bring in depression. So I was getting levels of depression I had never experienced before. You know, I remember the very darkest day. It was the day I got a call from my uncle. And my uncle, who, he would be the last person you might think would be open to God's grace and God's love. He called me up and he just said, I just want to tell you, it's the same day, I just want to tell you that Jesus is my king. And he said, Elvis isn't the king. That was his way of saying it. But he just said, Jesse, I know I'm going to heaven. And he said, I just wanted to call you and tell you that and encourage you. And it was just like, I mean, it was just such a big lift. Because I knew his story, and then he shared with me, and I just saw what a difference that made in his life too. And it was like at that time when I felt like there's no good news, here comes my uncle just to call me up out of the blue. I mean, he's called me up maybe I can count on one hand my life, you know, and just right at that moment telling me his story and what happened and how he just knows God's love and so forth. So. Yeah, there was a lot of low points on there for sure, but you know, I can't say, and this is a it was weird. I've never been someone that wrestled with suicide, and I never, but you know, even those thoughts, just having a thought of like, you know. Should you end it all? I mean, just even that thought. So not me entertaining it or planning or anything like that, but even those thoughts, let's say the drug, you know, it brings in. But I do just say, no way, because I know God loves me, and I know he's there and he's good, and it's just like, no way I'm not going to take my life. You know, so even when that thought came, and I just shoo it away with that, but if I didn't have the grace, if I didn't have the love, I didn't, no, God. I mean, this was just after I'd become a Christian. But it would have been a much different reaction by me personally. I wouldn't have had that comfort, that security, that's for sure.
Question.
So, yeah.
One of the things here is become motivated by gratitude.
Yeah.
And you remember my story about traveling.
Yeah.
And I was taken in, and people who took me in were Hindus, Hindu religious people.
Yeah.
And when they helped me, and they helped me big, as I told you,
yeah.
All he said to me was, because I asked, I said, I'll pay this money back. I'll take care of everything, because I'm not a beggar.
Right.
And he said, no.
Yeah.
Pass it on.
That's right.
This is God, and this is what he said. This is God's grace.
Yeah.
From us to you, and you to whoever he's helped.
That's right.
So when I do that,
yep.
Do I have grace?
Yeah, you've received, which is great, and you're extending it, which is absolutely the right reaction. And that does, it pleases God when we treat each other that way, of extending each other grace.
It's just about me passing it on every time I see it. Do I gain grace, or stay even, or where do I come out?
Yeah.
You're
scorecard time. You come from a system of performance. No. I like a phrase, you can never outgive God. You know, so you just keep giving and giving and giving. Now, you might need to use discernment. Not every... There's enough scams out there. I mean, there's some things you got to be careful of. But Yeah, I don't think, I mean, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So give and extend with discernment, you know. But that's the wonderful thing is when you show someone grace, a lot of times it's going to touch a lot more lives than you're ever going to know or see or be aware of. And we've got those choices every day. I think it's the same thing with negativity. When you're negative, and maybe you think, I'm just getting off my chest, or like, well, I just need to vent. That's the classic quote. And I'll just, well, I just need to vent. You know, slam, slam, slander, slander, gossip, gossip. I just need to vent. But where that goes is far beyond what you ever intended or wanted or imagined. And every day, you're just spreading things with your attitude, your words, constantly spreading things. And it's like, yeah, when there's grace given and extended, mm-hmm. that's going to impact a lot of lives. It won't, it very rarely will just stop with one person. It'll have big effects. So, yeah, good example of that. Other thoughts or comments on grace? Yeah.
Would you consider under the grace nutrients, the first one, making that a one-word fill-in? Realize that everything in your life is a gift?
Yeah, that's right. Everything. Yeah, that should be a one-word. Yep. Yeah. Every good thing.
Well,
yeah.
When you call it good, if I call it good, it means I'm smart enough to really know
right.
good for me.
True,
and decide
true.
What I'm being offered
yeah.
is... I want to take that for me. I want to take that off the table.
Right, right. And that's, and I know we're
blamed for all the bad things.
What's that?
I totally blame for all the bad
things. Blame doesn't get you anywhere.
Customer service, right? Call them up. My wife had to work that job one time. It was a tough job. But, yeah, right. And it's a mixture. It's really a mixture, isn't it? I mean, a lot of it is what we do to each other, unfortunately, in this world. And that's a lot of it. But that's a good. See, we're hitting some other. Like when we hit topics like truth, or what is good, or blame for the bad things, and just some of the tragedies. These are. I mean, we make a Thursday night topic each on its own. I would say. But so what is good and what isn't good, and we come from different viewpoints and so forth. So, but from my perspective, not everything I see. When I pick up a newspaper, not everything I read about is good. And so I think in my mind there's a distinction between something. I wouldn't want to put grace over into an action that I would say, boy, that isn't good. But good things can come out of things that aren't good.
So... Is it something that you want to reserve your opinion for until later when you find out, really?
What in terms of defining what is
would
good?
Do you want to call it good, or do you just decide to suspend the judgment at all and just, you know, play the hand you're dealt, work with what you've got? I don't know.
Oh.
I think you should say, what is the lesson in this?
Okay, but... I may not be capable of understanding the lesson at the moment, but
you're asking the question.
Asking the question is fine with me.
Yeah.
To open me up to receive that.
Yeah. Sometimes I think people feel pressure to say, well, everything's good. And that poppy phrase, it's all good. Or, and it's just like, no, some things I see, I just don't think they're good. And so I think out of grace and out of God's grace, He brings good things out of the worst situations. You know, the police officer when I was in Oceanside, just a gang member, just shot him and killed him. You know, here and just out of pure hate, just shot him and killed him. Wife, 10-month-old kid. You know, their kid was born in the hospital right next to us. You know, and I looked at that, and I was just, I just can't call that good. You know, there's things I see where I can't call it, but I saw a lot of grace come out of that, you know, and I saw that those parents with all the media and set the example by saying, we forgive Killer. And it wasn't just lip service.
Jesse, what question?
Yeah.
Is it possible, because I think it's happened to me, that sometimes in life you just draw the short straw? Sometimes the straw is shorter than it should be.
Yeah.
Okay, that sometimes things just happen.
Yeah. Right.
And sometimes it's just tough.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes, yeah, go ahead.
I make a comment. When, you know, when our son Brian was 4 and was diagnosed with cancer, that was not a good thing. I mean, it was not a good thing. No parent would ever want to see their child go through that. But as we navigated through all of it, and we did it with the grace of God and with people that loved us, the church family and whatever, we saw tremendous good things come out of it. And you wouldn't have known that right off the bat, because when you get hit with that, it's like, oh my gosh, this is not a good thing. But through the grace of God, we navigated through it, we learned, and it went forward. It just paid itself forward. And it was okay. So it was a good thing. You don't want that for anyone, but if that's what the card that you're dealt, you navigate it with the grace of God, and you're going to make it.
That's one of the cards I got.
That's right. I know. It's like Kathy's sitting right there.
And one of the things when you were talking about that was when we went into, she had breast cancer, how I was all falling apart because, you just read the papers, you know, what stuff happened. And the system here was so, I don't know what to worry. It was graceful. I don't know what else to say, because when we went in, she got her diagnosis, and there was somebody there to move us along all the way. We never were in doubt about what to do next or what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's the way it was with your son, but that's the way it was with her. And that was good grace, because neither one of us had to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
This was good.
Amen.
Good. Yeah.
I think it was Joseph in the Old Testament who said to his brothers, what you intended for evil, God intended for good.
Yeah.
And how it's like seeing through the, it's almost like neutral eyes. You get to see the good with non-judging eyes.
Right.
If your eyes are non-judging, then what is good will somehow show itself to you, and you'll be able to discern it and see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And Joseph was someone where his brothers threw him in a pit, sent him into slavery. I mean, he was, for a crime he didn't commit, thrown into prison. I mean, it just looked like he was getting one short end of the stick after another, you know. And yet here he is, a guy that he did nothing wrong, and yet here he is in prison.
His faith was constant.
Yeah, and here were all these issues, and here were these things where family treated him, and it's like, but yet he's got this relationship with God where he's able to just rise above those things, and then out of love and forgiveness, reassure them. Because they thought, okay, Dad died, he's going to wipe us out. You know, he was only, not hurting us because Dad was around. So they were freaked out, and he just gave them that reassurance that, no, like, you're forgiven, you're loved, and I'm going to help you. And shows him grace. He knew the grace of God, and he showed it to his brothers. Yeah, it's a great example.
Yeah. Job is another good example of how much he suffered loss of family, loss of everything, just to, God wanted to teach him something in the end, and then he got so much more out.
That's right. Yeah, it's good examples. I mean, I don't know what your view of God is, but I guess one thing I would like to put out there just for you to think about is, have you ever, when you think about God, is one of the things that comes to your mind that he's full of grace, that he is abounding in grace, that he is a gracious God, that he is one of his the things he loves to do in our life is to extend his grace and then just have us say, yes, I receive it. But just that picture of God, of just being so, because, you know, sometimes we, like I said, we're just so hard on ourselves. We think, well, then God could never be gracious. I mean, if I'm so hard on myself, and sometimes, you know, we're just, God forgives us, and then we're the last person to forgive ourselves. So I didn't grow up in church, but I can't tell you how many people have grown up in church, and they think the only way I get to heaven is if I do this, 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 this. And there's this long list of things they have to do to make it to heaven. Or they just are constantly feeling like they're a failure. And they're wading through years of guilt and shame and guilt and shame and guilt and shame. And I just say, like, deep spiritual scars. and they've just never been shared. And they've never maybe received that God is so abounding in grace. And so, again, receiving grace is so big, because that's what turns into the giving of the grace. And when you know how much grace you've received, then that's when you really have a storehouse of it to give in a great way. Let's just these reflection questions. These are things just to take home and think about in your own journey and reflect on. But what experiences do you have in toxic soil? And maybe there's beyond the four I mentioned. Maybe there's some others. But really think about that. What's it like to have those four soils or some different ones? What does it do to your countenance, to your relationships, to your moods, to your thoughts, to your behavior, to your on the job? Number two, why is grace exciting for you? I mean, maybe I'm assuming there, but, you know, what is it about grace that's kind of exciting? What catches your attention? What sounds pretty good about that? Number three, what has been the greatest experience of grace in your life? I mean, I've shared in my journey that I've never experienced a greater grace experience than through Jesus. But I've experienced so much. You know, my mom, she was a single mom, working a job, going to school, raising me. And just, I always had the sense that if I need anything, mom's going to bust her chops to make sure, you know, that there's food on the table. You know, think about those greatest experiences of grace in your life, it's a great thing to be reflective on, thankful for. Number four, how can you embrace grace more in your life? You know, that kind of ties in that question, why not receive more grace? When do you resist grace? Why do you resist grace? And then number five, what does Jesus say and give in the area of grace? If he's full of grace, and he makes that claim, then that's something to check out. Is he full of grace? And what does he really say? What does he give? So those are some more reflective questions. Anything? How are we doing on time? There, I know. That's right on time. Okay, very good. How about any other questions or thoughts? Yeah.
It seems like once you get rooted in the grace and that has possibilities of transferring back into one of these four toxic soils.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you bounce down there for a little while and then realize the love and the grace and then bounce it back out.
Yeah.
And then bounce back in and bounce back out. And
that's right.
You know, life is kind of sometimes a back and forth thing.
That's right. That's right. I shared for me that selfishness, well, that's a daily. You know, when I come home from work and it's grace. I'm thankful for three kids. You know, we had three miscarriages. We've got three kids. But when I come home and I just know, okay, I can look with my wife. I think, okay, I know what she needs right now. And then three kids are running at me, and I, I think I got an idea what they want, and some of my first inclinations is, but what about what I want? I want to get on the couch. I want to turn on the ball game. I want to get to go and get that, you know. So it's like, yeah, those moments, it's daily, and it's a decision. It really is. It's the will. It's a decision, too. So, but I think just being aware that, okay, there's a toxic soil of selfishness. That's the first step, becoming aware that that's there. Then growing in awareness of, I think that's where I am right now. You know, getting better at identifying, yeah, that's what I'm operating out of right now. And then that desire to say, no, I want something better than that. And okay, what's my other option? You know, and then choosing that, going through that, and then pretty soon that becomes more the habit. And then pretty soon it's more familiar to break out of that selfishness and so forth. And when you can't do it on your own and you're stuck, you just say, God, I ask for the grace to not be selfish. And you shoot up that prayer, and then you make your decision. You go that direction. And it's okay if you don't feel... Sometimes when you make a sacrifice, you don't feel great that first minute. But just keep doing the right thing. And then the feelings will come. You say, that was good. I wasn't selfish, you know. Yeah, don't let your feelings run you. Let's see. Any other thoughts, comments? Let's see. I was just thinking.
How can I find out my score on grace?
Whites are always good at reporting scores. they might even have suggestions.
Oh,
no.
Good answer. I think.
Oh, no.
Make sure you're going to bother you again.
All right. No, I lived in Scotland for a few months, and I mean, I just loved it there. I loved the accents. My coach in college was from Scotland, so you know the R's that are rolled. Great, oh, it's a great day. You know, it's just snow coming down. We're practicing. Rain. Oh, it's great, a great day to be out on the pitch. But there was a show I was watching, and it, you know, Nessie is big over there. Loch Ness Monster, and it was a whole special on the Loch Ness Monster. And you have this guy who's I don't know, maybe in his 70s. And they're interviewing him, and he's talking about what he saw, and you're kind of seeing some fuzzy pictures with a little bit of dark there, you know, and he's just talking about his experience, and he's taking you right to the spot, and he goes, I was right here, and looking out there, and he said he caught a glimpse of Nessie. And he just said, if I had to spend the rest of my life here, just to get another glimpse of Nessie, he said. And he says, I surely would. You know, like Nessie was so good that if he had to spend 50 years stationed there, and he got one more glimpse of Nessie, like that would be worth the whole deal, you know. And I was like, wow, that's passion, that's excitement. That's a good PR man for Nessie. You sell a lot of T-shirts, but I was thinking that's kind of how I feel with grace a little bit, is like, if you get a glimpse of grace and you experience grace, there's just an excitement and passion about it, because like someone mentioned it, when you start saying, no, this is too good, you know, God just absolutely loves me, is crazy about me, and by his grace covers all my sin and rebellion. He'll give me enough grace for every day. There's a different way of living besides rooted in this other stuff. And when this stuff starts to sink in, you say, this is just too good. And I think that's when we start to get grace. You know, people can help us and give us some feedback, but you, when you're living in it, it's one of those things like, how do you know when you step into a healthy community? You know, you can talk about, well, there's authenticity, there's this or that, but there's also something in us where we just know when you step into it, like, this is the deal. You know, I'm just experiencing, this is healthy relationships, this is good stuff. And when it comes to grace, I mean, it's one of those things where you experience it, you know, and taste and see if the Lord's good, but just the grace, that kind of passion. So, if it's okay, let me just, I'll say about a 10-second prayer for us, but I just, it's not kind of a pastor, and I feel like I have to end everything in prayer, but I just want to pray for us as we close. Gracious God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the reminders of the grace you give us. And we pray that same prayer, that our lives would be rooted in grace and help us to see your grace and to receive your grace in fresh and new ways. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you
for the evening. Yeah, it was really enjoyable.
On behalf of Many Rivers Books and Tea, thank you very much for a wonderful evening.
Okay,
that was really wonderful. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Many Rivers has adopted the custom of a donation bowl. That's a bowl on the counter. Any amount that you can contribute will be gratefully received. A portion goes to our speaker to support his work.
I know, but
it's always a surprise. And a portion goes to the store. So you can continue to hold events here like this. You know, like, so any amount is perfectly, you know, we're perfectly happy with. And we have some books that I think may be of interest to you. And we have whole shelves of books that might be of interest to you. And I hope to see you again soon at Many Rivers. Thank you very much.
Thank you for hosting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There's one more.
You want me to take it?
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Oh, good. I'm kind of encouraging.
I just like to
Oh, really? So refreshing,
I'm so glad you're able to come too. Yes,
I come here just to do some extra work.
Oh, yeah. It's a neat thing. It's set up there.
Wonderful.
Oh, good. It's unique. I'm so glad they do that too.
One important question.
Yes.
Do you use an electric razor to shave your hair?
Great question. I go for the clippers. I've got a clipper.
Yeah.
And, it came with a lot of guards on them, like, 10, 9, 8, 7 for different sizes.
Yeah.
But,
I know it's very short.
But now I just do it without the guards. The older I got, the less guards I use.
Okay.
But you know the one I still got in my back pocket? I don't use a Bic yet. Because some people use like a Bic shaver.
Yeah, well, that's what I did the first time. And I didn't like it.
No, I didn't ever like that either. Yeah. I don't like the Bic one. But I just have a clipper. It's about this big. I might even have an extra one if you.
I just was going to get something about buying an electric razor for my head because I got 3 months.
Oh, 3 months! Great!
3 months.
I love it. That's a great thing.
I still don't have any hair.
All right.
He's got to get his cut again.
Very good. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write down clippers, and I'm going to see, because I had an extra one before. I'll do
a brand or something.
Yeah. But this one, this would be a good one. I'll see. I can't remember if I gave it away yet or if I still have it. But as soon as I go home, I'm going to check for that.
I hope you would, because
yep.
I want to say yes or no to the keys.
Bye.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Come on, honey, you gotta take me home.
God's riches that Christ expects.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah, right. That would be like heaven would be one of God's riches. Going to heaven. Well, Jesus paid the full price for our rebellion so that when God looks at us, when we put our trust in Jesus, we receive that righteousness, His forgiveness. And so He paid the full price for it, but we get so that would be an example.
Oh, I see. Okay, you wake up.
Yeah. Oh, you got. Yeah, yeah. You got it. You're a quick. You got to start mining. You're quick on that stuff. Yeah. So that would be one example. Yeah.
When I was talking about my traveling, you know, I wish. I wanted to say Jesus led me to this place that helped and all that. No, He didn't. I didn't even know.
Yeah. He leads. Sometimes He leads you to good things without.
I can't say this.
That's right.
Because I wasn't.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, He looks out for us long before we even know He's there.
He's the one that got me to the Indian couple to take me in for a month when I was starving to death.
Right.
Right behind that.
Yeah, that's it. You got it. Yep. Every good thing. Hey, I'm proud of you for shaving your hair. That's not an easy thing.
Not over here.
Yeah, that is not an easy thing to do. That shows a lot right there. That's
a sacrifice I have to.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell.
Yeah,
Oh, okay. No, I didn't read that yet.
Okay. When I get done, I'm going to loan it to you.
Okay.
But you have to give it to Orana.
Oh, okay.
I was telling him.
Yeah, that's right. They're up there. They're up there, aren't they? Yeah, that's right. That's good. Good job. Boom. Solid. I like that one too. That's a good one. Bye, Kathy. Yeah, thanks for coming out.
Wonderful time.
Yeah, see you later, Ed. Oh, man. Let's see, what can we have for this? You guys, thanks for sitting on the ground. It was nice of you. Did it get uncomfortable?
Shoulders.
Yeah, shoulders, legs, knees, not too bad. Mainly in the upper, yeah.
The blood flowing again,
you'll be okay. Yeah, it's back for me usually. It's like, where's my back? The blood. Yeah, thanks for that.
So did you choose the books, or were they chosen?
Oh, I didn't
Did
even have
them
yet. No. Oh, some good ones. Yeah, there's some good ones in there. Yeah, John Scott. You know, he just felt called. He's single. So like everyone's trying to set him up. Everything's like, no, I just know I'm supposed to be single to sort of go more and go more places. And he just, because I was married, I just knew there was a lot of things I couldn't do. He's from England, but he's written a lot of stuff. He's a great guy, though. But I just like, you never hear that. Not that many people have that. But it's like, you need to hear it.
I've never read
him,
I think that's all.
He wrote a really good book, like, What is Christianity? It's about the different title of it. This one's just extremely good. It's really well. So, yeah. New thing, like, this day, like, Jesus comes from together.
Have you been to it before?
Sometimes, like worries more wired, and like you just wait. I'm going to help them. I'm going. Like our parents are just totally opposite. But oh well. Yeah.